But today, we get to open the Word of God. That's a pretty cool thing, right? That's pretty cool. So we're picking up where we left off 2 weeks ago in the book of Nehemiah. All right, so I want to catch us all up to speed, catch myself up to speed with where we are at in the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah is in the middle of a pretty big project. Pretty big deal, right? Like, God's called him to do something pretty big. All right, he's called to rebuild the walls around Jerusalem. And they're doing just that. They're rebuilding the walls after a lot of prayer and a lot of planning and dealing with opposition. Nehemiah is doing what God has called him to do, and the wall is being built. And get this, the wall, it's about the wall. Like, yes, that's huge. That's important. That's a big deal. They're building a wall around an entire city. That's a big deal. But it's about more than that. This is about the God of Jerusalem being made known to the nations around them. That's an even bigger deal. See, Nehemiah was tasked with building a wall so that the God of Jerusalem would be known by the entire world, all right? And so we're going to pick up where we left off in chapter 6 of the book of Nehemiah today, beginning in verse 15, all right? And where we found ourselves last time was really in the fourth quarter of the game. They're so close. They're almost complete with what God has called them to do, what God has called Nehemiah to do. They're almost finished, and yet, along this whole process, if you've been with us any amount of time, you're not surprised that Sanballat and others are still being in opposition to them. They're still standing in opposition, still trying to stand in the way of what Nehemiah was called to do. So Sanballat is still threatening Nehemiah. He's still trying to discourage him. He's still trying to get this entire project off the rails so that it doesn't happen. That's his goal. That's his plan. All right. And so then early on in chapter 6 of Nehemiah, we see Sanballat, like, just now he's coming straight for Nehemiah. He's like, "This, I got to pull out all the stops here because I don't want this project to be complete." All right. So they're doing whatever they can to stop this from happening. And the mission for Nehemiah and company stays the same. It's to complete the good work, complete what God has called them to do. You might remember one of Nehemiah's responses to the opposition that he faced is found in Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 3. And this is something that we really keyed in on throughout this series. This is a big deal. Nehemiah said this. He said, "I am doing a great work, and I cannot come down. I am doing a great work, and I cannot come down." That was Nehemiah's response to dealing with threats, to dealing with letters that were attacking him, to dealing with opposition. "I am doing a great work, and I cannot come down." See, Nehemiah knew what he was called to do, but more importantly, Nehemiah knew who was calling him to do it. He knew this was his God that was calling him to do this. All right, I mean, again, they tried everything to discourage Nehemiah, to get him off track of the goals that he had set, and yet it didn't work. They tried to undermine his authority. They tried to slander him. None of it worked. They threatened him. And I think part of the credit for none of those things working goes back to verse 3, this attitude that Nehemiah had of, "I'm doing a great work. I can't come down from that." So through all that we have seen Nehemiah deal with, all that we have seen him face so far in this series, he pressed on. He continued doing what God had called him to do. And that's a pretty powerful testimony that Nehemiah has. And finally, end of the fourth quarter, we're here, we've arrived, and the wall is completed, and the last gate is hung in place. And that's where we get to pick up in verse 15 of chapter 6, Nehemiah. We're going to read the entire passage, and then we'll come back and talk about it. Verse 15 says this: "So the wall was completed on the 25th of the month Elul, in 52 days, when all of our enemies heard of it, and all the nations surrounding us saw it, they lost their confidence. For they recognized that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God." Verse 17, "Also in those days, many letters went from the nobles of Judah to Tobiah, and Tobiah's letters came to them. For many in Judah were bound by oath to him because he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Era, and his son Jehohan had married the daughter of Meshullam, the son of Berechiah. Moreover, they were speaking about his good deeds in my presence and reported my words to him. And then Tobiah sent letters to frighten me. So that's how chapter 6 comes to an end. But if we bounce back up to verse 15, we finally see the completion of the wall. That's a big deal. I mean, think about it. We've spent all of this time studying the book of Nehemiah to finally get to this place, and we're here, right? Like, that's a big deal. Like, think about it. We've been in this series as a church for, like, forever, since July 11th. And it says that it only took them 52 days to complete the wall, meaning that we've been in this series in the book of Nehemiah longer than the amount of time that it took them to actually build the wall. Think about that, all right? So, but this is a pretty significant project that they were able to complete. This is a big deal, okay? It's been less than, even if you look, it's been less than 6 months since Nehemiah first went to the king with this idea, with this plan, right? I mean, that's amazing. I mean, this isn't about building a fence around a house. This isn't about building a shed in the backyard. Like, this is building a wall around an entire city, all the while having opposition come at you and say, like, this ain't going to get done, and attacking you and trying to take you off task. I mean, think about what they did. They worked day and night, tirelessly. We've learned from previous chapters that they had a tool in one hand and a weapon in the other, trying to defend themselves from the enemy. They worked in shifts. Like, this was a very strategic thing that they were doing. Mission on living for 52 days in the face of persecution. I mean, we know some of the names of Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem. I mean, these guys did everything they could to keep Jerusalem from rebuilding this wall. They threatened them, they sent letters against them, and they tried to intimidate, they tried to bully, really, Nehemiah. But guess what? Here we are. We see the finished product. We see the result of living on mission. We see a project that is done into completion. And most importantly, we see the hand of God in that. We see that this was God's work that was being done. See, Nehemiah, I don't think Nehemiah wants to receive any of the credit for this, if we know anything about Nehemiah. He doesn't want to steal any of the glory. I think it's safe to assume that Nehemiah knows that what they were able to accomplish here was by the empowering work of God through Nehemiah and the others that were working with him. Did God use Nehemiah? Yes, absolutely, for sure. But it's not about Nehemiah receiving the glory for what God was able to do. It's about God receiving the glory for what was able to happen here. But man, like, think about how that must feel. So God's called you to do something. He calls Nehemiah to step out in faith for his purposes, not for Nehemiah's purposes. Because if it was about stepping out in faith for our purposes, that wouldn't be very hard to do. We always want to do what we want to do. But God calls Nehemiah to do something for his purposes, to step out in faith, even in the face of persecution, even though it was hard work. He kept going. He did what God had called him to do. And that's got to feel pretty good for Nehemiah and company right now as they complete the wall. And I think there's a lesson in that for us this morning. Should I say that? Actually, yeah, I'm going to say it. Okay, so a lot of times when we're doing what God has called us to do, we think that that means that the stars should align, that everything should be perfect. That if I'm going to do what God tells me to do, then, like, God better make it very clear and very easy and very straight, and I better get what I want out of it. We're not willing to admit that, but that's, like, kind of how it goes sometimes. God, you're calling me to do something, but I better get something out of it. You better make it easy for me. You better make it special for me. But, you know, if we learn anything from Nehemiah, we learn that following the call that God has placed on your life, like, not everything's going to be perfect. Not everything is going to pan out the way that we desire it. Not everything's going to be easy. And so maybe today, maybe you're tired of the work. Maybe you're tired like those that were working on the wall were. Maybe you feel like giving up. Maybe you sometimes actually question God for calling you to something so stupid at times. It feels like, God, what are you doing? Why do you want me to do this? Why are you calling me to this? Or maybe sometimes, anybody ever think they misunderstood God? Like, there's no way that God's calling me to do that. There is no way God's calling me to do that. You want me to go where? With who? You want me to serve with them? Come on, God. There's no way. I'm pretty sure we have a misunderstanding. Something got lost in translation. God, I know you're not telling me to do that. I know you're not. You know, maybe you're tired of the questions from people when you tell them God's called you to do something. They go, what? God's called you to go where? Anybody ever have that? You know God's called you to do something, and your Christian friends are like, what? Come on. Maybe you're afraid of getting laughed at. Maybe you're afraid of getting ridiculed. I mean, Nehemiah faced a lot of opposition, and he kept going. What are we afraid of? What are we afraid of? And honestly, I think that's where a decision has to come for each of us when it comes to God's calling on our life. Like, are we going to go after that calling that God has placed on our life to serve him, or are we going to back down in the face of opposition? Are we going to give in? Are we going to throw in the towel when something gets difficult? Because I promise, when God has called you to do something, he doesn't mean it's going to be easy. He doesn't mean it's going to be perfect, and he certainly doesn't mean that you're not going to face any opposition along the way. You're going to face opposition. And so the decision is, are you going to back down in that, or are you going to stand firm in your calling and what God's called you to do? Even in the face of laughter, even in the face of ridicule, what are you going to do? Are you going to say, God, I think you should use somebody else? We've done that. God, it's getting too difficult. I think you should, like, go pick that guy because he's going to be a lot better than me. But guess what? God didn't call that guy. God called you. So what are you going to do with that? And if we can learn anything today, it's the fact that God wants us to serve him. He does. God wants you to serve. And again, there's going to be opposition to that, but what side are you going to listen to? Are you going to listen to God's calling, or are you going to listen to the enemy? Who are you going to listen to? See, though, what I think is awesome about this passage, again, we see a powerful testimony in this man of Nehemiah. We finally arrived at this place where they got the job done, and the fact is that the labor and persecution for Nehemiah was worth the final product. And that's something that we need to wrap our head around, is that the labor and persecution that we face will be worth the final product that God has for us. So whatever God has for you, whatever destination God has called you to reach, it is going to be worth everything that you go through to get there. And the only reason I know that is because it's God that's called you to it. And if God has called you to it and you honor that, then it's going to be worth everything in the long run. See, it goes back to this response of Nehemiah and realizing that if God has called me to do something, then in the face of everything, I'm going to be willing to say, I'm doing a great work, and I cannot come down. That's what Nehemiah said. And I think that that's something that we need to live in here at Grace Gospel Church. I mean, we have a mission statement of exalting Christ and pointing others to him. That's our mission here at Grace. And if that is our calling of exalting Christ and pointing others to him, that means we do that in everything. Everything that we do as individuals and as a church body collectively, we seek to exalt Christ and point others to him. So to truly live on mission does not mean that we live out the words on these walls when it's convenient for us. But too often, that's the only time we do that. When it's convenient for me, when I get something out of it. Or we do it when we know everybody else is going to be for it. We're not going to have anyone stand against us, so I can do that really easily. But do we do that when we know someone's going to be on the opposite side? See, for Nehemiah and his people, they weren't doing what God called them to do because, you know, Nehemiah promised them, like, good health and dental insurance. Like, that's not why Nehemiah and company did this. They did this because it was God calling them to do something. And when God calls you to do something, that means in the face of everything, we have to be willing to say, I'm doing a great work, and I cannot come down. It took them 52 days to build an entire wall around a city. walls that were previously in shambles for over 100 years. It took them 52 days. And so that made me think, like, over 100 years, like, did no one else, like, care? Like, it only took them 52 days. Did no one care? Did no one want this to happen? No, but I do think that, obviously, no one got to a place where this was more than just a wish for walls around the city until Nehemiah came along and said, God's going to do something about this. And God can use me to do something about this. That's where things changed. It became more than just a wish for the walls. It became a project. See, Nehemiah saw, all throughout this book, we see that Nehemiah saw the problem at hand. He prayed, he grieved, he ached for this problem, and it had nothing to do with him, really. We remember that. He planned, he went before the king boldly, he fought, he encouraged others to come alongside him, and he stood strong, even seeing the job through to completion. And Nehemiah had people around him that had that same heart. But I think often our idea as to how God can use us is way too small. I think often our idea as to how God can use us is way too small. Look at what God did through Nehemiah. God used Nehemiah to fix an over 100-year problem in less than 2 months. Less than 2 months. God used Nehemiah. Something else jumps off the page here, to me at least, in verse 16. If we read that again, it says this: when all of our enemies heard of it, and all the nations surrounding us saw it, they lost their confidence. For they recognized that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God. And look at what God was able to do. See, this passage tells us that the surrounding nations had lost their confidence. And did they lose their confidence simply because a wall was built around Jerusalem? No. Yes, that's a big deal. But look what it says. The Bible tells us right here that they lost their confidence because why? They were able to do it with the help of God. That is cool. They were able to do this with the help of their God, and surrounding nations noticed that. See, God is here. We see God come up all over the place in the book of Nehemiah, all throughout this construction project. Chapter 2, Nehemiah told Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem that God is going to strengthen their hands to do the work. He said it's because of God that we're going to have success. In chapter 4, he tells them that God is going to fight for us. All right, and then in chapter 6, he says, you know what? God's called me to do this. He's called me to a good work. I'm not going to come down from that. But then a few verses before our passage, it's not on the screen, but you can look at verse 9 of chapter 6. So Nehemiah gets like these terrifying letters, these terrifying death threats, and this is how he reacts. And this might be my favorite verse in the entire book of Nehemiah. In the face of persecution, Nehemiah in verse 9, it says, "For all of them were trying to frighten us, thinking they will become discouraged with the work and it will not be done." So that is the enemy's plan, okay? So Nehemiah gets it. If we stop right there, Nehemiah says, okay, the enemy desires for this project not to happen. So what they're going to do is they're going to try to discourage us. They're going to try and get us off track. They're going to try and wipe this thing out so that it doesn't happen, okay? And Nehemiah says something pretty cool, a pretty powerful, short and sweet and to the point prayer. Right here, Nehemiah says, "But now, O God, what? Strengthen my hands." What strikes me about that is that in this moment, Nehemiah, get this, Nehemiah could have prayed for anything. Nehemiah could have prayed that God, okay, I'm done. It's getting a little difficult. God, I don't think I'm the guy anymore. So get me out of this, go find somebody else. Nehemiah could have prayed anything. Nehemiah, like, that is so cool, and I get really fired up about this verse because God, Nehemiah chose to say, God, strengthen my hands. God, give me what I need to complete this project that you have called me to do. Give me the strength. Help me get through this, God. He could have prayed for anything, and in this moment, he says, give me the strength to do what you've called me to do. See, God gives us the strength to accomplish what he's called us to do. God gives us the strength to accomplish what he's called us to do. Nehemiah had a big task in front of him. He had a big enemy against him, right? And yet, it wasn't bigger than his God, and he knew that. Hence why he goes to God in prayer like that. So back to where we are in our original passage, though, this morning, I want you to see how cool this is. So the same testimony that Nehemiah and company had all along, this testimony that God is going to help us, that God is going to lead us, that God is going to make this thing happen, that's the testimony of Nehemiah all along. That's why we go back to chapter 2, chapter 4. Like, these things are what Nehemiah said. It's going to be God that makes this thing happen. That's their testimony all throughout the book, right? Can we agree? That's their testimony. Look whose testimony it is now. Whose testimony is it? It's the enemies. It's the enemies. The same testimony that God is going to make this thing happen is now the testimony of their enemies that God did, in fact, make this thing happen. That is cool. God did this. See, I think it's a job well done if you do something and the enemies notice God did something through you. If your enemies can give testimony to God based on what he does through your situation, through your circumstance, like, I mean, that's the goal, right? I hope and I pray that that is said about me, that God did something through me. That's the goal that we have here of exalting Christ and pointing others to him isn't so that, you know, we can brag about how awesome we are. It's not our mission. Our mission is to brag on how big and how great our God is so that others would be pointed to him in everything, not pointed to us. That's the mission. That's the mission. So think about Nehemiah for a moment. Think way back. Think way back to the beginning where we find Nehemiah as a cupbearer to the king. And now he comes onto the scene and all of a sudden, Nehemiah is a construction worker. Yeah? Construction worker right here. Yeah. Nehemiah was a cupbearer, now he's a construction worker. So do you think the enemy thinks that this project's going to happen with Nehemiah leading the way? Probably not. Like, really? It wasn't Nehemiah that was going to get this job done. All right? And then we think back to the construction workers that were with Nehemiah in chapter 3. We see perfume makers. Really? If I'm Nehemiah, I'm out there, I'm like, all right, God, who you got for me? Okay, let's get to work. Like, that's difficult for Nehemiah. And remember, that's part of the scrutiny that was against them, that these were not very qualified people that were tasked with building this wall. And yet, guess what? They got it done in 52 days. And so here's what I think is going through the enemy's head. Like, okay, it definitely wasn't Nehemiah. He ain't that special. If definitely it wasn't the construction workers that he had, it had to be God. It had to be God. That's beautiful. Think of how cool God is. Like, yeah, I'm going to make sure you know it was me. Because it was. It was God that made this thing happen, and the enemies took notice of that. Man, I hope the same thing is said of myself. I hope that the same thing is said of us here at Grace Gospel Church. It had to be God. For anything awesome and amazing that happens through our church body, it had to be God. See, our job is to do the work that God has called us to do so that others can clearly see that God's hand is in our life, that God is making something happen. And yet the question is, are you willing? Are you willing? Are you willing to step out and do what God has called you to do? Are you willing to be simply just used as an instrument in the hands of God? Because clearly, when something has God's fingerprints on it, other people are going to notice. Other people are going to notice. See, these people of Jerusalem were a witness for God to the nations that were surrounding him, surrounding them. But are we? Are we living our life as a Christian to be a light to those that are around us? Or is the life that we live simply one where no one really takes notice that we're even a Christian because our walls are torn down like they were for over 100 years here? But if you let the Lord do a building work through you, then I promise other people are going to notice. If you say, here I am, God, here I am, use me, and you live your life for God, other people are going to notice. All right, let's jump back into the last three verses in our passage. Verse 17. Verse 17 says this. It says, they built the wall, they had a dedication ceremony for the wall, and they lived happily ever after. That's what mine says. No? No? Is that wrong? It must be the message. I don't know. But sorry if you read the message. Verse 17 doesn't say that. Doesn't say they lived happily ever after, but my question is why? Because God called Nehemiah to do this. He did it. That should be it. Why isn't that it? Why doesn't it say they lived happily ever after? God, you know, Nehemiah did what God called him to do. But I think that Nehemiah gets that, okay, he's called to serve God and to glorify him no matter what in every season. Okay, but the wall's done. But my thinking is that God didn't want Nehemiah's service for just 52 days, and that was it. That's not what he wants from us either. God didn't call Nehemiah for a season. God called Nehemiah for a lifetime that goes beyond the 52 days. There's always something to be done. There's always kingdom work. There's always kingdom building to be had. And so, you know, Nehemiah was going to have other things that he was going to do. Nehemiah was going to have other things that he was going to have to deal with as well. And so it's not happily ever after. It's a big deal, but there's more for Nehemiah to deal with. Okay, verse 17, for real this time, it says this. It says, also in those days, many letters went from the nobles of Judah to Tobiah, and Tobiah's letters came to them. For many in Judah were bound to oath to him because he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah and the son of Arah, and his son, Jehoahan, had married the daughter of Meshullam, the son of Berechiah. Verse 19, moreover, they were speaking about his good deeds, Tobiah's good deeds, in my presence and reported my words to him. And then Tobiah sent letters to frighten me. Okay, so Tobiah is someone that's come up all throughout the book of Nehemiah over and over and over. And now the work is done, the wall is complete, and yet Tobiah is still trying to come after Nehemiah. He's trying to make him feel afraid. He sent letters previously. He was, first off, like right from the get-go, he was disturbed and bothered with the fact that Nehemiah had come to build this wall. He mocked, he ridiculed the work that they were doing. But what's different about it this time, what we see in chapter 6, what's different now is that this noise that's going on is no longer happening from like outside the wall, outside of camp. It's happening from inside. It's happening from inside. These people that just, you know, were with Nehemiah. And we see that it's happening from inside because Tobiah, as we read some of those names that are hard to pronounce, it says that Tobiah had connections basically within the nations of Israel based on who he was married to. All right. And so he's built relationships there. He's built trust there. And he has so much influence within these circles that some of them even trust Tobiah, the enemy, more than they trust Nehemiah. And that's a problem. That's a problem for Nehemiah. Like, he's been called to this place, and yet Tobiah is still trying to make this difficult for him. And then in verse 19, it gets even better. So, basically, they come to Nehemiah. This is my translation. Basically, they come to him saying, okay, look, man, this guy's actually not as bad as you think he is. This guy's not that bad. He's actually a pretty cool guy once you get to know him. I think you should. I think you'll like him. Give him a chance. Like, he's not that bad. He's a pretty good guy. It's basically what they say here in verse 19. And I'm just like, what? Like, if I'm Nehemiah, I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. This guy has been in plot against Nehemiah and against the rebuilding of the wall the entire time. He's been a part of the plot to stop the work since day one. Like, he's mocked, he's threatened, he's ridiculed this whole project, and he's been an enemy to this whole project, and yet they're speaking well of him and poorly of Nehemiah. Think about that for just a second. Like, they're sticking up for the man that is so clearly opposed to the work of God and what God wants to accomplish in this place. They're sticking up for him. Like, what? And on top of that, these nobles go behind Nehemiah's back, verse 19, and everything basically that Nehemiah talks about, everything he says, everything he does, they go where with it? They go behind his back, and they tell Tobiah about it. They're reporting now to Tobiah. So if I was Nehemiah, thank goodness I'm not. If I was Nehemiah, I'd be like, really, guys? 52 days, we did something miraculous. God did something miraculous through us. And now you're doing this. Now you're going to the enemy who did not, by the way, did not want this project to be completed, and yet you trust him more than you trust me. Like, there's still problems that we're dealing with. I'd be like, God, really? I did all that you called me to do, fixed a 100-year problem in less than 2 months, and here we are, still got issues, still got problems, still got things we're dealing with. God, I thought, like, you know, this was going to be easier than this. I thought this was going to be easy. But it wasn't. Like, look at all we accomplished, God. And now look at all that we have to deal with. But the reality of that, I think Nehemiah certainly understands better than I understand, is that there's no off-season as a Christian. See, Nehemiah was called to complete the wall 52 days, but then he got in and say, okay, you're done. Bye. Your work here is done. Like, no, God still had a calling on Nehemiah's life. There's no time to clock in and clock out of Christianity. We're called to be on mission all the time. And so in the last few verses of chapter 6, really what we see is that the wall is not the end of the call. It wasn't for Nehemiah. Nehemiah's calling was not complete yet. And it's not for us either. And so a takeaway for us this morning is the fact that God has something for you to do. No matter what season of life you find yourself in, no matter what is standing against you and against God, God has a calling on your life, and that calling is to serve him. God has something for you to do. God has something for myself to do. And so the question is, like, would we tap into that the way that we are supposed to? I mean, we've said many times throughout this series, like, okay, would you find your place on the wall? Would you find your place on the wall in what God has called you to do? Would you find your place in the mission here at Grace Gospel Church of exalting Christ and pointing others to him? And what God has called us specifically to do here as a church, would you find your place in that, realizing that your calling isn't temporary, your calling is forever? And so as we talk about mission here, and we read in Nehemiah, obviously, about living on mission and being mission-driven and mission-focused during these 52 days and even the days leading up to that, the time spent in prayer, you know, I think it's a very, very good transition for us today here at Grace Gospel Church as we kick off our 28 days of prayer. All right, you might remember last year we spent time in prayer for 4 weeks. We call it a theme of 28 days of prayer. So what that means is that we're asking for everyone that calls Grace Gospel Church home to pray. Now, do we want you to pray on day 29? Yes, okay. But pray for 28 days, and it's themed, okay? So you'll notice that there is an insert in your bulletin with a prayer calendar. That's going to be your best friend for the next 4 weeks. Hold on to that. Use that as a guide for how we are to pray. All right, so we're asking everyone actually to stop every day at noon and pray. All right, and if you can't for some reason pray at noon, find a time throughout your day that's going to be a consistent time of prayer for you to pray through the things on these calendar, on this calendar. Okay, you'll notice that there is a specific prayer request that we have for ministry leaders, for missions, for Sunday morning service, that kind of thing on this calendar. And so we're asking you to pray for those 28 things, one a day. All right? So we have prayer calendars available for you in your bulletin. Make sure you grab that. Make sure you hold on to that. And then on top of things for 28 days, we have four overriding prayers that we're asking you to pray for every day. All right? Four things that are featured on your calendar. Number one is that our congregation would have a deep commitment to God and to his mission. See, we desire for every single person that calls Grace Gospel Church home to be sold out for Jesus, to be committed to God and what he's called you to do and what he's called us to do in the mission of Grace Gospel Church. That's a big one to pray for that. Secondly, we pray that every person would utilize their gifts to build the kingdom. We're in the book of Nehemiah talking about building the kingdom. We desire that every person here would utilize their gifts. God's gifted each of us in the body of Christ. We need to utilize that so that Jesus Christ would be exalted and others would be pointed to him. Use your gifts to build the kingdom. Thirdly, we're praying for growth at Grace, especially for young families. So we want to see everybody come into this place because we know that we're going to teach them about Jesus. All right? And so we desire to grow here, and especially amongst our young families. We desire to have more young families join us and call Grace Gospel Church home. Would you pray for that over these 28 days and beyond? Make that a prayer priority in your life as we make that a prayer priority in this church. And lastly, to pray for the one. So we had this one from last year's theme, and we're keeping it because it's an important one. See, each of us as Christians have one person at least in our life that we desire for them to come to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. And, I've heard it said that nothing of eternal significance happens apart from prayer. So pray for that person. Pray for the one person that you desire personally in your life to come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Pray for that. Pray for direction from God, even as how you can share the gospel with them. So pray for that person. All right, and so today, actually, and for the next four Sundays, beginning today, again, this is our kickoff, and it's an exciting thing as we spend 28 days in prayer. And so today, we're going to pray. I've asked a few people to pray. So they're going to pray. They're going to lift up the mission of Grace Gospel Church. They're going to lift up what God has called us to here at Grace, who he's called us to be. We're going to pray that God would use these 28 days, that God would use this, year for his glory through our church. That God would be honored, that God would be exalted, and that ultimately others would be pointed to him. We're going to pray. We're going to pray right now again, and we're going to have time each Sunday for the next few weeks to pray in service as a body. And again, for 28 days, we're asking everybody to pray, everybody to stick to this as we pray. Because nothing of eternal significance happens apart from prayer. God wants us to pray. God wants us to come to him. So would you do that for 28 days? And we're going to kick that off. If you're with us on our live stream, you can stick around for this. And we're just going to spend time before the Lord today.